for safekeeping. Written by Glimmer Glamour. Read by Opal Song. Rating explicit. Fandom, Star Wars. Relationship, Cody, Obi-Wan. And the 212th Attack Battalion, Obi-Wan. Also tagged for Always a Sith AU. Alpha Beta Omega Dynamics. Dubious Consent. Dubious Morality. Morsums. Mating Cycles / In Heat. Mentions of Past Death and Torture. Double Penetration. Born with Plot. Non-traditional Alpha Beta Omega Dynamics. Intersex Omegas. And implications of past abuse, including sexual abuse. Obi-Wan went over 30 years without a heat. It was hardly unusual or unexpected. Everyone knew Omega reproductive systems were finicky. Omegas were incredibly fertile while in heat. Nature had, perhaps, compensated for the situation by ensuring they only went into heat when conditions were correct. Omegas went into heat when they felt safe, when there was sufficient food. There was more to it, Obi-Wan knew. He'd read medical texts years ago regarding the effects of stress hormones on Omega reproduction, and then had shrugged and moved on. He'd not felt truly safe for as long as he could recall. Not since the hunters had pulled him from his mother's arms and dragged him off to Coruscant. Because not only was he an Omega, he was also touched by the Force. The Emperor had ordered, long ago, that all Force-sensitive children be turned over to his care. Obi-Wan's parents had refused. He'd been their only child, born by chance, for there was much to cause stress on Stujon and little to install a feeling of safety. Obi-Wan's earliest memories were of warm arms around him, ragged voices making him promise not to show anyone the things he could do, the way he could make things move with his mind. But he had been a child, and children often make foolish mistakes. The hunters had burned down his home, the penalty for trying to hide a Force-sensitive child, holding him tightly as the flames curled from the windows, as his parents screamed and screamed and burned. Obi-Wan shook the memories aside. That had been more than 3 decades in the past. The conflagration had taken all sense of safety with it. Never once, in all the years of his training and service that followed, had he ever felt anything but on edge, wary, guarded. It had kept him alive when so many others perished. Most Sith didn't live to see adulthood. Obi-Wan had. He'd kept himself alive on Bandomir, carving his way through those who meant to kill him. He'd ended the war on Melida Dawn, a and restored the empire's peace. He cut down those who tested and tried him, growing strong and skilled, vicious and brutal. He proved over and over that he was more than capable of taking care of himself. And yet, still, the years went by without any sign of a heat stirring in his blood. He did not mind. Heat addled the mind, all Omegas knew that, and he could not afford to be addled. Besides, he saw little cause to bring a child into the world. He would never speak the words aloud, holding them, instead, deep in his chest. But he thought birthing a child would be a cruelty beyond any he'd yet displayed, especially if his child had the force as he did. Besides, no child of his would be safe. It was not just the other Sith that threatened him, jostling ever for position in the Empire. There were wars constantly, and of late, the wars had been growing more dangerous. Many of the Rim and even Mid-Rim worlds were trying to band together, forming alliances to work against the Empire and attempting to build armies to disrupt the peace and security offered by the Emperor. The Emperor, in his obvious wisdom, had foreseen such a problem and taken steps to return the galaxy to order. Obi-Wan was one of the first introduced to the Emperor's solution, to regiment upon regiment of identical soldiers, helmets under their arms, staring forward as he walked among them. They were not truly identical, Obi-Wan noted, gaze sliding across their faces and down their armored forms. They felt different in the Force, each one of them, but he said nothing about that, merely agreed that the contract had been fulfilled and took control of the men assigned to his command. He was given ships, along with roughly 1 million men, and told to make war for the Empire. He'd been making war for the Empire for most of his life, but there was something different about living on the ship. It made the rest of the galaxy seem far away and distant. Living on a ship granted him a level of control. He knew when someone boarded the negotiator, or when they left. He started sleeping for more than a few hours at a time in his quarters, started eating more as the kitchens became operational, as he knew exactly where all the food was coming from, and exactly who handled it. And he grew used to fighting beside other people. It was a novel experience. Sith never worked together for long. They ended up killing one another in such circumstances. But the troopers... He'd watched and waited at first for them to stage some type of revolt. They had the numbers, likely to kill him. He would take many of them with him, but even with his abilities, killing 3,000 men, the crew complement of the negotiator, in a single fight would have been difficult. They didn't kill him. Instead, they came for him after some of the insurgents captured him and took him to Ratatak. They brought him out of the twisting warren of cold, damp rooms where the rebels had tried to prise information out of him through pain and deprivation. It was not a single occurrence. They covered his back in fights, both large and small, and did so without comment. And when he did take injuries, unavoidable in war, their medics insisted on tending him, carefully, without commenting on all the many scars he bore across his skin. Obi-Wan adjusted, slowly, to working with them. And when he did, he dug deeper into their mysterious creation. The Emperor had said nothing about them while they were being prepared on Kamino. They'd simply been provided at what seemed to be the ideal moment. an army made to fight the Emperor's wars, and given to Obi-Wan's command. He knew the Emperor would not allow such a thing lightly or without precautions. The man did not trust Obi-Wan that much, and with good reason. Obi-Wan would cut him down in a second if given the opportunity. 1 million men could provide one hell of an opportunity. So Obi-Wan looked for a catch. There had to be one. Some secret protection for the Emperor hiding in the men who he fought beside. He found it after almost 6 months of working with the troopers. A tiny chip tucked away in their heads. It took longer, months more time and experimentation, to determine how the chips operated. And then Obi-Wan took a solo trip to Kamino, off the books, just in time for several very serious accidents in Tipoca City. He felt satisfied by the time he returned to the negotiator, just in time for another battle. Cody, they'd started telling him their names around the time he identified the chip, nodded when Obi-Wan returned, the scar on his brow still healing. He'd covered Obi-Wan after a rebel force set an explosion in one of their camps, the force of the blast caving his helmet into his face along his brow and cheek. He'd done it without any hesitation or any expectation of reward. Just done it. Obi-Wan nodded back, smile curving his mouth, and felt something warm settle along his spine. Obi-Wan went over 30 years without a heat, but he knew the symptoms to expect, were he ever to experience one. He noted, eventually, the warmth that never left his spine, migrating into his gut. He noticed his increased heart and respiration rates, his agitation and inability to stay still. He noticed the ache in his hips and the throb of want. Obi-Wan made himself a cup of tea as the realization stole over him. He drank it, sitting in his quarters, full of surprise. When he finished his tea, he set it aside and calmed Cody. His commander arrived in short order, stepping into his quarters, helmet under one arm. Obi-Wan stayed on the couch, letting his gaze wander from the top of Cody's head to his feet and back again. Cody was, like all his brothers, strong and capable. Beneath the armor, he was all hard muscle, stronger and faster than a Natborn, higher levels of stamina, increased ability to endure pain and exhaustion. They'd been built for war. Obi-Wan felt his breath catch in the back of his throat, felt a throb between his legs, and watched Cody shift minutely, eyes darkening as his nose flared. Obi-Wan wetted his lips, stood, and asked, "What do you know of Omegas, Cody?" Cody stared at him, unblinking, tracking each movement he made. "They're rare," he said. "Special. They can carry in birds shinies." He took another deep breath. "No, you are one, sir." Obi-Wan inclined his head. His men were all betas. Apparently, there'd been a batch of alphas early on. They'd been too aggressive, with each other, with their trainers, with themselves, to be viable, according to the Kaminoans. Even still, betas could scent an Omega, especially one so close to heat. Just because alphas rarely allowed betas the chance to mate an Omega in heat didn't mean betas lacked the drive to do so. Obi-Wan said, pacing in a slow circle around Cody, who did not turn as Obi-Wan reached out and dragged fingers over his shoulders. "And what do you know of heats?" He heard the little rumble of sound that escaped Cody's chest. He shivered, feeling a hint of wet soaking into his leggings. Cody's voice had gotten thicker when he said, "I know about the mating fever. It's a biological process designed to encourage sexual intercourse and pregnancy." Obi-Wan smiled at the clinical, though accurate, description. He trailed his fingertips over Cody's shoulder, moving around to face him again. He asked, swaying a little closer, draping his other arm over Cody's shoulders as well, "And would you want to participate in such a biological process, Commander?" "Yes," Cody ground out, sounding like he was talking through his teeth. He'd kept his hands at his sides, fingers clenched in hard. His eyes were all black, the warm brown of his irises completely consumed by pupil. Obi-Wan's grin curved wider. He leaned closer, dragging his cheek against Cody's jaw, scenting, feeling him suck in a deep breath. He asked, close to Cody's ear, "Would your brothers?" "We'd give you what you need," Cody ground out an answer, and Obi-Wan froze for an instant, the words startling enough to catch him out, even in his impaired state. For a moment, his thoughts jumped to battlefields, to the security of the ship, to their ease with weapons and strategy, and he pushed the thoughts away. He could work towards accepting that they were most definitely giving him what his body thought he needed later. If they weren't, he wouldn't be in the early stages of a heat, after all. They made him feel safe. It almost made him laugh. He covered his reaction by brushing his lips over the soft skin below Cody's ear, murmuring, "Good. Your restraint is admirable, Commander. In another situation, I'd be tempted to see how long it could last. But I find I would much rather you fuck me." Cody made a louder sound, more a growl than anything, his helmet clattering against the floor as he released it to put both hands on Obi-Wan. Fingers slid into his hair, pulling, dragging him into a kiss that was inelegant and hard, hungry. Obi-Wan moaned into it. Inelegant, hard, and hungry was exactly what he wanted at that moment. He let Cody kiss him thoroughly, melting at the nips, at the way Cody sucked at his bottom lip and rasped. "How many?" "Hmm?" Obi-Wan asked, holding onto Cody's shoulders as his commander's other hand slid down, tugging at his belts and sashes, all determination and skill. "How many of us can you take?" Cody asked, and, oh, Obi-Wan was both impressed and pleased at how quickly he'd caught on. But then, his men were designed to adapt quickly. They were so bright, brilliant, really, and Obi-Wan rubbed against him, warmth flashing fully over into a burning wave of need. He'd read so much about heats, he'd thought he understood them, but he'd never actually had one, and it was more, so much more than he'd expected. He wanted to be bent over, wanted a cock in him, wanted... "Let's find out," he panted, tone getting ragged as Cody nosed back towards his throat, trailing biting kisses the whole way. Cody growled and threw his belt to the floor and started tearing his tunics off, all that glorious strength he had turned to getting Obi-Wan's skin bare and exposed. He snapped something into the comm at his ear, but Obi-Wan's blood was pounding so hard he couldn't make out all the words. His world narrowed down even further as Cody pulled off the last shreds of his tunics and dropped to his knees. Obi-Wan thought, hazily, that perhaps this was the reason Omegas only went into heat when they felt safe. He was not himself. He knew it, vaguely, but it didn't matter that he wasn't himself, that he was made of just want and need. His men would look after him. Cody gripped at him, rubbing his cheek over Obi-Wan's hip, nuzzling at the fabric of his leggings, breathing open-mouthed and hard. He was mouthing at Obi-Wan's cock through the fabric. Obi-Wan's fingers sunk into his hair, holding on tight, when the door opened again. One of the medics, Bones, was first through the door. Three others followed behind him, all that Obi-Wan's quarters could hold comfortably. Obi-Wan could see movement beyond them in the corridor. Other troopers, waiting. He groaned, rocking into Cody's touch, thighs starting to tremble. Bones took in the scene, meeting Obi-Wan's eyes for just a beat before he was moving forward, shifting to stand at Obi-Wan's back and, oh, it was so good and easy to lean back against him. Bones took his weight easily, his armor cool against Obi-Wan's overheating back. Bones rasped out, "Hold on a click, Commander. Let's take care of this quickly." And his hands shoved down Obi-Wan's leggings, pushing them down his thighs as Cody rocked back just enough to let him work, before Cody was lunging forward again and... Obi-Wan tipped his head back, crying out. It was fairly obvious that Cody had never had his mouth on a cock before. Didn't matter. He licked across the overheated flesh, curling a hand around Obi-Wan and stroking while mouthing at the head of his cock, all wet, hungry enthusiasm. Obi-Wan panted, shifting his hips into the touch, which was so good and not enough, not what he needed at the moment. He shifted his thighs a little, gasping out, "Please, touch me." "Touch you where, sir?" Mav asked, all of a sudden at his right. And they were boxing him in, so no one would be able to get to him, no one at all. Not even the Emperor would be able to get through. So many, he'd be safe, he'd... Obi-Wan grabbed Mav's arms, too hazy to explain with words. Mav didn't fight him, only made a thick sound when Obi-Wan guided his hand, put Mav's fingers between his legs, below Cody's glorious mouth, getting fingers to brush across his aching cunt, and Obi-Wan moaned, grinding against the touch, while Mav made a stunned, thick sound. Obi-Wan whined when Mav drew away. Only a moment later, looking at his fingers, before putting his glove between his teeth and yanking it off, throwing it somewhere across the room and getting his fingers back where Obi-Wan needed them, getting... "Fuck," Mav panted out. Fingers over him and then plunging into him. So good, so good. Obi-Wan was vaguely aware of Bones asking questions, getting distant replies... But all the sensation was swallowing him up, pushing him closer and closer to an orgasm. He ended up coming, shouting in surprise, as Bones curled his free hand around Obi-Wan's thigh and just lifted, opening him up, leaving him to balance on one leg, though he didn't need to balance at all. They were supporting his weight, and he shook, trembling, vaguely aware of Cody making a thick, pleased sound, licking him clean. Mav kept moving his fingers, one hand braced on Obi-Wan's chest, pressing him back against Bones, and it was so much just right. "I'm gonna fuck him now," Cody said, voice thick, not even talking to Obi-Wan as he rose to his feet. Obi-Wan nodded, dizzy against Bones' shoulder. Someone, Chris, stepped close to his other side and grabbed his other leg, just lifting him, spreading him open as Cody tossed a few pieces of armor to the side, shoved down his blacks enough to free his cock, and grabbed Mav's wrist, pulling his fingers out of Obi-Wan's cunt, dragging a noise of loss from Obi-Wan's throat, a sound that turned into a moan as Cody slid into him. "There you go," someone said against his ear. "There you go, we've got you." He couldn't reply. All his clever words had flown away from his throat, driven out by the press of Cody's cock into his body, finally giving him what he needed, what his blood called for. He tried to rock into the feeling, but the others held him too tight, and he could only groan and cry out as Cody fucked into him, hard and steady, and Cody's cock was perfect, just right, so good, and Mav worked a hand between Obi-Wan's body and Cody's, fingers rubbing against Obi-Wan's clit, found in his earlier explorations, intent and determined. Obi-Wan came again as Cody was shoving into him, felt his body clench tight around Cody's cock, and heard the sound of it dragged from his commander. Cody thrust in deep and froze, and Obi-Wan stared dazedly at the ceiling, aware Cody was filling him, spilling inside him, dragging into his own release by Obi-Wan's body. He shivered down his back, mouth curling into a loose smile. It had been a long, long time since anyone had fucked him. He'd stopped allowing it over a decade in the past, once he was strong enough. It had never struck him as a particular loss. He thought maybe he'd been wrong to write it off, his body alight with pleasure. Cody's body pressed all to his, Cody's breath puffing against his throat. He drifted for a beat until Bones said something behind him and Cody nodded, rousing himself. Obi-Wan groaned a complaint when Cody slid free of his body. He felt empty, and that was, abruptly, an utterly unacceptable feeling. Awful enough to tighten his throat and make his eyes burn. It didn't last, blessedly. They moved him, their voices buzzing around him. Someone pressed him forward so he was leaning against Cody's chest, hands pulling his hips back, just so, And then Bones pushed into him, all in one smooth stroke. Obi-Wan cried out, gripping onto Cody's arms, hands stroking down his back and flanks, curling in his hair. Someone slid fingers into his mouth and he sucked, something soothing about it, while Bones fucked him hard and deep and... And when Bones pulled out, Obi-Wan barely had time to mourn the loss before Chris was taking his place, groaning as he sank inside, setting a fast, hungry pace. They were all wound up, he thought, hazily, watching him get fucked before they could have their turns, had them all on edge, had them desperate to take him, to fill him up, and he needed that, needed... "We're gonna give it to you," Cody told him, pulling his hair to make him look up, expression dark and hungry. "We're gonna give you everything you need." And as Cody hiccuped on a wail, he tugged on Obi-Wan's hair again, twisting his head to the side, where Mav leaned down and kissed him filthily. His head was full of thrumming pleasure by the time Chris folded forward against his back, nuzzling against the back of his neck, rocking his hips in a few final jerky times. He shivered at the feeling of cum running down his thighs when Chris pulled out of him, hot and slick and proof that they were filling him up so well, so perfectly. Someone close to him made a thick, hungry sound, and the world shifted around again, disorienting. Obi-Wan blinked and found himself staring up at the ceiling, past Mav's face. His back was pressed to the cold floor and, oh, Mav was pushing his thighs up towards his chest, fucking into him. Obi-Wan started to reach for him, dazed, and other hands grabbed his arms and shoulders, pinning them to the ground, holding him perfectly in place. Someone slid a hand over his stomach, curled fingers around his cock hard again, stroking him in time with Mav's thrusts. Obi-Wan tossed his head back, sound slipping from him with each thrust, and he hadn't come by the time Mav spilled inside him, but throttle was there, pushing in almost without breaking the rhythm Mav had set, and people like to claim that Omegas needed a knot to satisfy them while they were in heat. It was only Alpha propaganda, Obi-Wan realized in a brief, sharp moment of clarity, meant to benefit the Alpha and no one else. A knot meant a lull in the proceedings, trapping an Omega in place while an Alpha breathed heavy over them, making them wait for more. Obi-Wan didn't have to wait at all. He didn't have to squirm around on a knot, hoping to get fucked again. They gave him as much as he wanted, everything he needed. They pulled him and twisted him, moving him here and there as they pleased. Eventually, they got him on his knees, his shoulders shoved down, and they seemed to like that, especially. Eventually, they started trying to push the cum that spilled from him back inside between thrusts, but it was a lost cause. Didn't matter anyway. He was full of them. They reached around him sometimes to drag their hands over his stomach, which started, at some point, curving just a little from how full he was. He hadn't even realized it was possible, but he doubted many Omegas had ever been in this situation. He was sore and aching and wanting more, wanting... His head swam when they pulled him up again, Boyle dragging Obi-Wan over his lap, right onto his cock, and Obi-Wan dropped his head on Boyle's shoulder, far too weak to hold it up. "What do you need?" someone asked him, his vision too blurred to make out much of anything. And he slurred, "More," because he needed all of them. He needed... "Fuck," someone panted. "We'll give you more." And he groaned when hands gripped at his thighs, dragging them up towards his chest, shifting the way Boyle's cock sat inside him. That was only a minor distraction, though, from Waxer pressing close against his chest, dipping fingers into him alongside Boyle, going, "Yeah, you can take more, all right." Obi-Wan did not realize, really, what he meant, what any of them meant, until Waxer shifted even closer, until he'd already worked the head of his cock in, too, and the stretch was so much, it... Obi-Wan cried out, shockingly loud even to his own ears. He flailed his hands out and troopers caught them, holding on, holding him in place, kissing his wet cheeks and brushing back his damp hair as Waxer slid in and in and in and it was so much more than anything then seemed possible. He wasn't sure how his body was taking it all, not really. They were bigger than any knot, than anything he couldn't. And then they started moving, rocking into him, rubbing against everything. The way eased by all their cum, but the stretch of all the brothers who'd fucked him before, filled him up and kept him safe. Obi-Wan sobbed his way into an orgasm, body clenching weakly around them, vaguely aware that it set off a chain reaction, Waxer and Boyle both cursing and following him over the edge. But that was far away from any kind of concern, swallowed by white-hot pleasure, and then, following that, a cool and welcoming darkness that just reached up and swallowed him, and... Obi-Wan woke up slowly, feeling heavy in his bones and utterly exhausted, despite, apparently, sleeping. He was warm and no longer appeared to be covered in cum or slick. In fact, he felt no remaining traces of the burning heat in his blood. He'd blacked out, it seems. The last thing he recalled was having both Waxer and Boyle inside him. He tensed, and Cody said from close by, "It's all right. You're safe." Obi-Wan snapped his eyes open, turning and realizing, as he did, that he was lying in a mess of blankets on the floor. Obi-Wan was stretched up beside him, naked, an arm curled around Obi-Wan's waist. Obi-Wan had never seen him out of armor before. Even when fucking him, they'd stayed ready for battle. And his gaze dipped, appreciation curling sudden and thick in his gut. He shoved it aside before it took root, gaze sweeping around the room, landing on the two troopers standing by the door, wearing their armor, fully at attention. "There are more guards outside," Cody told him, rubbing a circle on Obi-Wan's chest, palm sliding towards his stomach, "and regular patrols through the entire deck." "You're safe," he'd said, when Obi-Wan woke up, a repetition of what Obi-Wan's body had already decided. He was safe, and now he was curled up beside his commander, in a pile of clean-smelling sheets, both of them naked, and a throbbing ache in his thighs, hips, and back. "Ah," he said, shifting a little and refusing to wince, refusing to display any weakness. "I hope everyone enjoyed themselves after I passed out." Cody frowned over at him, hand just resting over his stomach, thumb brushing back and forth. "I'm sorry about that," he said, mouth twisting further. "We got you cleaned up after you passed out, while Bones yelled about what idiots we were for not keeping track of how worn out you were, and then brought you here to rest. That's all." Obi-Wan stared at him. They'd had him, loose and wet and unconscious. They could have done anything to him. He nudged at Cody's emotions, wondering if the words were a pointless lie, and sensed nothing but honesty from him. They'd had him at their mercy, and they'd cleaned him up and let him rest. "You're safe," his head told him, catching up with his body, leaving him shivering down his spine. "Here," Cody said, while the galaxy shifted shape around him. "You need to drink this. Bones wanted to start an IV, but I convinced him to wait." He tugged Obi-Wan to sitting and handed over a bottle of something that tasted horrible. Obi-Wan took a long swallow and then another, realizing in that moment how parched he was. His head ached along with his entire lower body. "Thank you," he rasped, shifting a little and burying another wince. He ached. He wondered vaguely how many of them had taken him. "I've got something for the pain," Cody said, and pushed up on an elbow, hand still on Obi-Wan's stomach. "For after you eat something." Obi-Wan nodded. He knew he was having trouble focusing, coming up to speed. His head felt cloudy and his body heavy. If another Sith tried to come for him, they'd have to get through an entire ship of men first. The anxiety in Obi-Wan's bones faded away before it could even form. He took another drink of the electrolyte fluid, and Cody went on. "We need to talk about what we're going to do now." Obi-Wan raised an eyebrow. "I'm sure we've got orders," he said dryly. Cody frowned and said, tone even, "I'm sure we do, but we're all... Sir, we think the Emperor is trying to kill you." Obi-Wan snorted and finished the drink. "Only since I was 12 years old," he said agreeably, and felt Cody's fingers flex against his skin. "We can't allow that," Cody said, sure and firm, and Obi-Wan blinked at him. "Excuse me?" he asked. "The Emperor. The other Sith, too. They're too much of a threat. They've got to be dealt with." Obi-Wan smiled at the sheer nerve Cody had to say such things. Even to him, they were dangerous words. Sedition, really. And the penalties for sedition were too terrible to even consider. The Emperor had spent a long time determining the most painful way to kill someone. Obi-Wan had been unfortunate enough to be on Coruscant for a few executions. Or, well, at least for parts of them. They usually went on for days, after all. Sometimes weeks, if the traitor was especially strong-willed. His first teacher, Jin, had lingered for nearly 2 weeks, before Obi-Wan had found an opportunity to reach him, to grant him mercy. Though Sith were supposed to stamp that out of their hearts, wherever it was found. Obi-Wan had, perhaps, never been a very good Sith, and Master Jin had thanked him, haltingly, as his breathing finally stopped. Obi-Wan knew the Emperor suspected his involvement, and always had. But Obi-Wan had been careful. He'd made certain to leave enough evidence indicating that it had been a different young Sith, Brooke Chung, if Obi-Wan recalled his name correctly, who had interrupted the Emperor's entertainment. Obi-Wan set those thoughts of the past aside with effort. He asked, "And how would you do such a thing?" Cody shrugged. "I have a strategy in place. I plan for it to take a year, but we'll move the time frame up. Bone says we have 10 months on the outside." Obi-Wan stared at him, wondering what that meant. He wished, distantly, that he were not so tired, so full of pleasant, warm hormones, that he could barely hold a thought in his head. "You have a... what?" Cody's mouth curved into something sharp. "A strategy," he said, sitting up and pressing a kiss to Obi-Wan's shoulder. "I know the Empire would prefer that we keep fighting and dying for no reason, but..." He shrugged. Obi-Wan shivered. He knew, technically, that he ought to grab his lightsaber and carve Cody in half, for daring to even speak such words. But Obi-Wan would have murdered the Emperor where he stood if he'd had the chance for decades. He had a feeling most of the other Sith felt the same way. Save, perhaps, Skywalker. But he'd always been the Emperor's pet. "One ship could not destroy the Empire," Obi-Wan said carefully. He shivered again as Cody kissed over his shoulder, moving slowly towards his throat. He had not thought at all during his heat about whether such intimacy would continue afterwards. The decision appeared to be out of his hands. "We'll have more than one ship," Cody said, breath tickling over skin. "We have an army, and the rebels have no fight with us, not if we stop killing them. They'll throw in with us with a little convincing, and you're very convincing, General." "Sounds risky," Obi-Wan said, tilting his chin up, a gasp escaping him when Cody curled an arm around his back, shifting to nudge him back down onto the blankets, his teeth dragging over Obi-Wan's throat. "It's worth the risk," Cody said, nipping at his throat, stretching over him beneath the blankets, strong hands easing his thighs apart, and Obi-Wan's cock could not stir, but he felt himself growing wet, body reacting to everything Cody was doing and offering. Safety, true safety. It was, "We're gonna take care of you," Cody murmured, shifting to kiss him, fingers stroking over his inner thigh, up and, "You want us to take care of you, don't you?" He was so tender, he ached, even though he could smell Bacta on the air. He swallowed a whimper, tightening his grip on Cody's arms as Cody rubbed his thumb back and forth, until he was slick and wet and wanting, despite knowing it was going to ache, and he gasped, "Yes, you're going to be safe," Cody said, drawing his fingers away, shifting so his cock rubbed against Obi-Wan's aching cunt, and you want to be safe, don't you? Obi-Wan stared up at him, wondering how much he'd said during the heat, how much he'd blurted out well out of his mind and full of their cocks. Cody dragged his cock against the slick edges of his body, just waiting. And Obi-Wan panted out, yes. Cody smiled at him, warm and sharp all at once. And Obi-Wan turned his face to the side, biting his bottom lip, blinking away the sting in his eyes as Cody sank into him, all in one stroke. Obi-Wan braced, expecting Cody to fuck him as they had the previous night, hard and fast. Instead, Cody moved slowly, carefully. He breathed against Obi-Wan's throat. Good. And Obi-Wan groaned, melting as the heady pleasure of each movement overrode more and more of the soreness, until it was just a tinge that sharpened each wave of sensation. There you go, Cody murmured, nipping at his throat again, keeping his pace slow and even, getting his hand between them. I've got you. Let go. Orgasm washed over him after a long, unstoppable build. There was nothing sudden about it, just the culmination of all of Cody's touches, making his eyes roll back as he whimpered, the noise finally slipping his control. He thought that if Cody tried to fuck him through it, he might have to push his commander off with the force. It was so much. But Cody just buried his face against Obi-Wan's neck and groaned, hips hitching once more as he found his own release. Through all of it, the guards at the door stayed at attention, armored and with blasters at the ready, protective. Obi-Wan blinked his blurry eyes, feeling Cody soften within him, aching and sore and safe for the first time in his life, and held on tighter. Tell me more, he said, both arms curled around Cody's back. Tell me all about our plans. And Cody smiled against his skin, telling him everything. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, you can leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.